Carrie. For the last several weeks together in Lent, we've been looking at the last words. What are the final words of Christ before his cross? And we'll continue to do that throughout this week up until Easter. What is it that Jesus has to say? And there are several groups Jesus speaks to in these passages for this morning. And really, keep your Bibles open. We'll go through chapter 14 as well as 15, but what are his last words? But also, how are these a model for us for the words that we need to be speaking? The first thing we see here in Mark 14, especially verse 17 and 34, is we see him speaking with his friends. The critical ministry, especially today, this ministry of encouragement, this ministry also of truth, to speak to friends, not just to shoot the breeze, not just to talk about the weather, not for another guy to email another guy and to say the most famous words that men say to each other. I mean, it's a whole conversation. What's up? that's it, right? But something more than that is going on here with Jesus when we see him reveal things to these disciples. I was blessed last night. A friend of mine for 22 years now, we were in ministry across the street from one another. A Baptist youth pastor and I have been friends for, like I said, over two decades. And he called me yesterday, hey, I'm in town. He lives near Dallas for my daughter's school function. Can we get together? So really late last night, I left the house, went over to Clinton, and we just shared life together for about an hour and a half. I say real late. I'm in my mid-40s. I got home at 10, but it was really late, you know. Oh. What is it that Jesus shares with his friends? In verse 17, he tells them the truth. He looks them in the eye and says, you're gonna betray me. Now listen, we could have bet on that. I mean, that's the whole gospel of Mark. These guys can't hardly move or speak without stumbling. I mean, over and over again, we just see them. Even when Peter finally gets to say something right at Caesarea Philippi, you are the Christ, within moments, Jesus is pulling him aside and saying, get thee behind me, Satan. It's stumbling after stumbling. This shouldn't come as a surprise. But it's a very sad truth that he has to share because, y'all, the groups have been thinning out. There were hundreds and hundreds and thousands upon thousands who were there to be fed. But now they've all gone. And we're down to just these few. And now Judas is gone. And we're down to just these few. And in just a few minutes, the other disciples to the side. And we're down to just three. And minutes from that, we're down to nobody. And yet he still will speak truth into their lives. How do you risk that? Especially as we see, he's saying with them some very hard things maybe to be shared in just a moment. I don't want to lose these guys. I need them. I know what I'm facing because the hour is at hand and I'm going to need them on Friday. So I'm just going to cover up the truth. I'm just going to skirt the issue. I'm just not going to say things because I don't want to blow things up. And Jesus says, every last one of you. Is that a word with the grace of Christ, but also with the truth of Christ in a friendship or relationship? Or we've got to speak truth even though we know there might be a price to pay. Can we speak truth? I heard a story of a married couple, and the wife had gone off. The husband had wonderfully sent her on a European vacation, and she had called home one day to check in. And said, I just wanted to see how things are going. How are the kids? The kids are fine. She says, well, how's the dog? Oh, the dog's dead. And she said, what? He said, well, the dog died. She goes, you don't say it like that. When you bring up something horrible like that, you've got to coax me into that. You've got to be careful how you say those things. Well, what should I have said? You should have said that you noticed that the dog was out on the porch the other day. And then when I got to London the next day, you could have said, hey, I noticed when the dog was on the porch that he was kind of inactive. And then when I was flying into New York, you could have said, when we talked, you could have said, well, I had to take him to the vet. And then when I got home, you could have told me that he died. He said, okay, I'm sorry. Hey, by the way, the wife said, when I left, my cousin Betty had the flu. How is she? Your cousin Betty was on the porch. Listen to what the late pastor Adrian Rogers would say. It is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then kills. It is not love and it is not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. It's always in gentleness. It's always in reverence. It's always with the spirit of, I've got a log in my eye. You just have a speck. Okay? But are there times in your relationships where we need to be able to be a truth teller as Jesus is? In a desperate time where he doesn't want to lose anybody, he still tells the truth. And then what's just as remarkable in verse 34 is he speaks about his needs. He shares with them what's really going on. I am crushed to the point of death. What kind of guy tells another guy that? Listen, many of us are so quick, and I've watched this church. I've watched how you've surrounded families in need. I've watched how you, we're launching even new more and more missions through our church. Quick to serve. But will we allow people to serve us in our need? It's interesting, we're about to go in a couple of weeks to Delta Grace. The last time I was there, and working in this home that had been devastated by floodwaters, we were gutting the whole home, and the person who owned that home was following us around. Can I get you something to drink? Can I give you something to eat? What can I... Having a hard time being served, wanting to serve. And we see here Jesus open to their prayers, open to their service. Please sit with me and pray with me. Can people serve you? Will you allow for that? Will you invite that? I was blessed last Sunday to have some people say, Pastor, we want to pray for you. That's hard, right? I'm already an introvert, and now they're kind of calling me out, and let's put our hands on you. We want to pray over you for what's going on, and just to watch over you and pray for you. It's a glorious time. I'm a part of one of our new discipleship groups. And just this week, we were talking about life and to be prayed over by my discipleship group, to pray for my kids, but also to pray for my ministry. But there's still that, it's hard to allow people to do that. Our Savior did. Our Savior was very real about what he was going through with those people he was close to. But he shared his needs. Sit with me. Pray with me. Can we speak truth? Can we also speak about our needs? But then he speaks to his foes. He speaks to his friends, but then he speaks to his foes. He speaks to his enemy. And you can just watch these scriptures starting at 14:48. Have you come at me like a robber? And again, it's this beautiful reminder in Christ's life. It's this reasoned confrontation. He's never out of control, but again, he'll speak truth to his enemies. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. And he calls them out, but he also tells them the truth. I've been here all week. I've been here in the temple. Why didn't you come and get me then? He's always got, as we're reminded again in his word, he's got an answer. Always have. Prepare. Sanctify Christ in your hearts, but always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Always with gentleness and reverence. But always have an answer. And Jesus doesn't back off of giving an answer to them. And then following down to verse 49, and then he says to his foes, he confronts them, calls them out, and then he says, look, this is scripture fulfillment. Right now it is. Later with Pilate, he'll say the same kinds of things. It's not that I'm not in control. It's that the hour has come, and I'm allowing these things to happen. There's a reminder, just a few, last week when we talked about the prophecies about, look, everything's going to fall in a generation, 70 AD. Everything did fall in Jerusalem. Whatever God's word has said will come to pass. Whatever God has said to you in his word that he wants in you and through you, it is to come to pass. The scriptures are to be fulfilled. And then dropping down to, we didn't get to 61, 62. But again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus says, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Hear it again. In his time of being confronted, he speaks truth and stands up and says, yeah. First he said, "I am," which is unthinkable. Remember in John 8, that got him in all kinds of trouble before Abraham was, "I am." But then he says, "I'm the Son of Man. I am God, and I am coming back as well." He has no problem standing up to his foes and speaking truth. And also, just flipping over to 15:2, the same thing again. He won't deny his kingship with Pilate. "It is as you say." He stands his ground. And he's alone. Look, it's hard enough to stand your ground when you're with others, but alone. I'll keep sharing about this one Russia mission trip I went to, because there were so many events in that that the Lord used to teach me about who he is, but who I'm to be. But there was one event, this was the second time I went, and I was asked to actually come back to a church. I'd already been appointed to a different church, but they had a brand new mission leader. And so they didn't have a mission leader or a clergy person who had ever been. So they said, "Would you come back and help lead this?" And so we had gone into the area of Sochi and Adler where the Olympics were. And we were nervous. As I shared with you before, Chechenian rebels set off bombs in Krasnodar the day before we got there and the day after we left. It was a tense time. They were kidnapping Westerners, holding them for ransom to fund their efforts. So we got down to Sochi and Adler. It's a very much Muslim part of Russia there. And so we were very nervous about that and very careful. But for the first time since I had been going, they said, "We're going to do street preaching." I said, "Okay, well, let's go do that. Who's doing that?" "Well, you're doing that." I said, "Okay." So I get out in the middle of the street, and we pull out Luke 15, and I just begin to preach and look up to people sitting out in windows in this bustling town in Sochi and tell them that there's a father who will race to you. If we turn and repent, just like this father to his son, God will race to where you are and take you into his arms. You can be, again, a part of the family of God. And then it was, I think, two or three. The story grows every time. Now I think it's like 20 guys. But three Muslim men surrounded me. And they began to bark at me. And they began to shout at me. I don't know what they were saying. But it was loud. And it was basically this. Now I'm in a foreign country. I'm outnumbered 3-1. And all my Christian friends are about 30 yards across the city square looking at me. And I looked over at the pastor, Vladimir Konstantinovich. I looked at him with kind of a look like, "What do I do? I don't know what they're saying." And this is what Vlad did. You ready? That was it. Keep going. Kept preaching, and they didn't shut up for a long while, just yelling at me. But I had Vlad, who at least gave me the nod. But it's one of the great things you can do for a brother and sister in Christ when they're up against the wall making decisions, kingdom decisions, when their family or the world is kicking them for it, for you to just give them a nod. You're being faithful. You're being faithful. Keep going. Jesus had nobody standing with him at this point, and he looked his foes in the eye, said, "I am who you say I am. Scripture will be fulfilled." Where were you all week long? He stood before them. It's a beautiful reminder of Jesus and his faithfulness. And then just walking down to Mark 14:36, and then going on as well over to 15:34, not only does Jesus address his friends and his foes, but this is something we cannot miss. We touched on it briefly last week in those few minutes we had, but he speaks with his father. He makes sure to speak with his father. And that's a needed reminder for us when it seems like maybe our friends have forsaken us or we're up against it with the world, how critical it is. And this is just, it marks Jesus from the very beginning to the very end of his life of making sure that he speaks with his Father. You see it there in Mark 14, 36. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me." Jesus is about to not only take it on the chin physically and emotionally in ways we will never fully understand, but even in a sense with that spiritual work that he's doing, to die for our sins, to take on death for us, and everybody's left him. But he knows that he can speak to God. He knows that he can speak, and I love that word, Abba. He can speak to his Father. I almost feel irreverent to say he can say Daddy, but that's the word. Father. Dad. And he pours his heart out as to what he's going through. What a great reminder for us. Whatever it is, to be able to speak openly, and also if you go to chapter 15, very honestly with our Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's the only words you get from Jesus on the cross in Mark's gospel. That's it. It's him again in his point of desperation and need, speaking to his Father. Now, you and I know that psalm. We know the psalm that Jesus was quoting as it starts out, Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you and I know how that psalm ends. Crying out in despair, but then that psalm ending with, deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the mouth of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. In struggle, we cannot know. Jesus, in chapter 14 and chapter 15, throughout Mark's gospel, takes his heart and his needs and his hurts before his Father, and he's confident to do that. Is that a word you need to hear today? We didn't get to read the lyrics last week because of time with Chris Rice. But I love that Christian author. When he talks about running to Jesus, he says, weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to fall. And remember that when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. How is it you need to do that, especially in this week? Be reminded again of his great love for you, the lengths he would go, that you would pour your heart out to him as he poured his heart out to his Father. Let's pray about that. Father, all of us, we'll have times, even this week, when we need to speak a word to a friend, when we need to speak a word when we're challenged. We pray that it would be your truth. Father, we pray that it would be your grace. We pray as well that you would help us, as Christ did for us and he does before his enemies. Father, help us to make a stand with gentleness and reverence, but help us to stand. We would not shrink back, but that we would give glory to Christ. Father, if there are some here this morning that need to speak with you because of the weight of what is on them, Father, I pray, as your Son so beautifully did, we would pour our hearts before you to hear from you and to be able to proclaim the goodness of Psalm 22, that even in a horrific time, we're still going to praise your name because you're a God who answers us. We thank you for this, your word. Now, by your Spirit, bless our response to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.